Canto 12, Chapter 11, entitled Summary Description of the Mahapurusha. We're going to be doing text 45 through 50, which would conclude this chapter. So,
is that correct, 45?
Yeah. So 45 we'll do responsively, and the others we can do simultaneously. So 45. Eta Bhagavato Vishnur. Adityasya Vibhutaya. Smaratam Sandayornam. Harantyam Hodine Dine. Ite Bhagavato Vishnur. Adityasya Vibhutaya. Smaratam Sandayornam. Harantyamo Dine Dine. Ite Bhagavato Vishnur. Adityasya Vibhutaya. Smaratam Sandayornam. Harantyam ho dine dine.
Please chant.
Eta Bhagavato Vishnur.
Eta Bhagavato Vishnur.
Adityasya Vibhutaya.
Adityasya Vibhutaya.
Smaratam Sandayornam.
Smaratam Sandayornam. Bhagavato Vishnur.
Adityasya Vibhutaya.
Adityasya Vibhutaya.
Smaratam Sandayornam.
Smaratam Sandayornam.
Harantyam Hodine Dine.
Harantyam Hodine Dine.
Eta Bhagavato Vishnur.
Adityasya Vibhutaya. Smaratam Sanjayornirnam. Arancham.
What meanings?
Etaha.
These.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Of the personality of Godhead. Vishnu.
Vishnu,
Lord Vishnu,
Lord Vishnu.
Adityasya,
Adityasya,
of the Sun God, Vibhutaya,
the opulences,
Smaratam, of
those who remember,
Sanjayo,
Sanjayo,
at the junctures of the day,
Nirnam,
for such men,
Haranti.
They take away,
Amha,
sinful reactions,
Dine
Dine,
day after day.
Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So none of these verses have any purports. Translation: all these personalities are the opulent expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu in the form of the Sun God. These deities take away all the sinful reactions of those who remember them each day at dawn and sunset. 46 together.
Dvadasa vapi manasa devasyo sadvirasya vai charan samanta tanupe Paratriha Chasan Matim
Thus, throughout 12 months, the Lord of the Sun travels in all directions with his six types of associates, disseminating among the inhabitants of this universe purity of consciousness for both this life and the next. 47-48.
Samadhyajur bistalinger risha samstupanta gandharvastam pragayanti nrityantya sarasagrata anhayanti ratam naga gramanyo ratayo jaka chodayanti ratam prishte nairita balasalina.
While the sages glorify the sun god with the hymns of the Sama, Rig, and Yajur Vedas, which reveal his identity, the Gandharvas also sing his praise and the Apsaras dance before his chariot. The Nagas arrange the chariot ropes and the Yakshas harness the horses to the chariot, while the powerful Rakshasas push from behind. 49.
Valakilya Sahasrani Satsir Brahmar Shayomala Purato Bimukam Yanti Stuvanti Stubir.
Facing the chariot, the 60,000 Brahmana sages, known as Valakilyas, travel in front and offer prayers to the Almighty Sun God with Vedic mantras. And 50.
Eham yanadi dinam bhagavan ishvara kalpe kalpe samatmanam vyuya lokam avanchaja.
For the protection of all the worlds, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who is unborn and without beginning or end, thus expands himself during each day of Brahma into these specific categories of his personal representations. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 12th canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Summary Description of the Mahapurusha.
Om Ajnanatimrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Scha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopika Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Srila Virbhav Prabhuti Namaya Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadayane Prabhupada Anupadaya Namah Shivarabhave Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschata Deshitarne. Hare Krishna. So, in the Vedic hierarchy, it's described that there are different levels and different personalities and what their position is. So from the lower end, we have the human beings. Then going above that, we have the demigods. And then above the demigods, we have the king of heaven, Lord Indra. And above him, there is Lord Rama and his planet. So these levels of hierarchy, all these positions are occupied by the jiva tattvas, mainly. So wanting to note that these are positions, they're not names. Like Indra is not a name, it's a position that different empowered entities occupy, and thus they have that name Indra. Just like, for example, you have the president of the country. Every one of them is addressed as president, but at different times there are different personalities who took that post upon qualification to present Kali Yuga standards. So similarly, in the Vedic hierarchy, these positions are occupied by different personalities, and they're addressed as Indra, Brahma, and so forth. Like we read earlier in the 10th canto, that Lord Balaram went and spent 4 months with his disciples and students, Janaka Maharaj at Janakpur. So that's the same Janakpur that Maharaj Janak, the father of Sita Devi, occupied many, many years before in the Satya Yuga. So the position is still there, Janak Maharaj, but it's not the same person. So similarly, these different positions are there. So in positions like, as you go higher and higher up, it requires more qualifications. And that's why positions like Indra, and especially Lord Brahma, sometimes they are occupied by empowered living entities or those who are qualified to fit that position. On other times, they are occupied by the Lord himself, who took that position of Lord Brahma, if there's no one else qualified. Just sometimes, you know, like here, the temple president would assign services to different persons. And sometimes when no one is there, she goes herself and does it. So something like that, to give you just a basic example of how it operates. So that is, Lord Rama goes as far as the material world. But above him, you have the king of all planets, the sun planet, the sun god. And that position, according to these descriptions, are only occupied by the Lord himself through his different expansions, as we were discussing throughout this chapter. So the Lord takes those positions in some of his different expansions, and as we learn that there are different incarnations of the Lord, there are different expansions, there are different avatars, like you have the Leela avatars, the Guna avatars, Shaktavesh avatars. There are so many different expansions, so I didn't do enough research to find out what category the sun god expansion is in. Maybe somebody can help at the end of the class. So, or maybe someone knows at this point. Yeah. Does anyone know what category does the sun god, what expansion? Anyway, so the bottom line is that the sun god is occupied, that position is occupied primarily by the Lord. So this kind of, you know, makes me reflect in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita 4.1, maybe you have it in print up, where Lord Krishna says that he first imparted this knowledge to Vibhashwan, the sun god. And then he, in turn, instructed to his son, Manu, the father of mankind. And it comes down like that. So that Vibhashwan is not an ordinary person is not a jiva person according to Srila Prabhupada. So I have some references on this here. Let's see if I can find it. Here is one letter. Okay. This is another a different reference. Let me find it. Oh, maybe it's this one here. Anyway, there are several references here in the Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada addressed this, that the sun god is a chief, and he got his power from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this Vibhashwang, as is instructed, you know, that what we learn, that the Lord first instructed us impart this knowledge to Vibhashwang. Initially I thought, well, just like Arjuna, who was like an empowered living entity, it was the same thing. But from what we understand here, it's very different, that the sun god, it's a position occupied by the Lord himself, and he taught this knowledge to his own expansion, Vibhashwang. So this is one thing that kind of caught my attention when I read that. And then as we go through these verses, we understand how the Lord is being glorified as the sun god. And in many ways, there are many references in the Bhagavatam where devotees, brahmanas, worship the Lord as a sun god, even when the pujaris go on the altar, every day they recite one verse that gives a description, gives a address, or compare the Lord to the sun and the sun rays. And we say this every morning, or whenever we go on the altar. Om Tad Vishnu Param Padam Sada Pasyanti Suryaro Divya Chakshu Ratatam Tadvi Praso Viprayano Jagravamsa Saminite Vishnu Yat Parmam Padam. That just as the sun's rays in the sky are extended to the mundane vision, so this, in the same way, the wise and learned devotees always see the supreme abode of the Lord. So that's a comparison. But then there are many places we chant daily also that gives a direct understanding that the sun god is the Lord himself, expansion. And Srila Prabhupada gave us this in the Gayatri Mantra. So here is one letter that he gave an explanation to one of his disciples, Mandali Bhadra Prabhu. This is, sorry about that, Mike. I'm not so technologically developed, yeah. Regarding Gayatri Mantra, to say it silently is also chanting. Every mantra is recommended to be uttered silently, but specifically the Maha Mantra can be chanted both loudly and silently. The meaning of the first mantra is, and this is the Gayatri Mantra he's talking about, I meditate on the sun god who is maintaining the three worlds. Savitur is the name of the sun god, but the greatest Savitur is Krishna. Therefore, it is meditation on Krishna who is the master of all the cosmic manifestation. The other mantras are prayers, anyway. So it goes on from there, and then we have this other reference here. We are chanting Gayatri, Om Bhurbhuvasuva Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. These are praising the lokas, different planetary systems of which the sunlight is the chief. So Savitur Sakala Grahinam. He is the chief of all planets. And then there is this other one here. It says, we are chanting Gayatri, Om Bhurbhuvasuva Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. These praising different planetary systems, sun god. Yeah, different planetary systems of which the sun god is the chief. That looks like the same one. Yeah, we also have some other ones here. Yeah, the predominating deity within the sun is Hiranmaya, Lord Narayan. He is worshipped by the Gayatri mantra. He is also worshipped by other hymns mentioned in the Rig Veda, for instance, yeah. So, within the sun, Lord Narayan is situated, and he's also of a golden hue. So anyway, all these are descriptions, and I have several more references that to understand the position of the sun god. And we learn from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that time I am. So this whole chapter gives an explanation of how Krishna is time, that in the form of the sun god, he travels throughout the planetary systems and maintains them. So in Bhagavad Gita, it's just like a very small synopsis. Krishna says, I am time. But here it explains how Krishna is time through the expansion of the sun god, how he travels, how he maintains all the universal planetary systems. Also in the Narasimha Kavacha prayers, there's one prayer there that of the three presiding deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, or Mahesh, that Lord Brahma creates, Lord Shiva destroys, but Lord Vishnu himself maintains. So this gives an idea here again, linking these two, of how Lord Vishnu maintains the planetary systems through his travels and through his expansion of the sun god. So this is another link that we can relate as to how the Lord carries on all these functions. And when I first heard that prayer in the Narasimha Kavacha, I asked the question, well, why is it that Vishnu himself maintains? Why not some other demigod maintains? So then the answer came that to create is in the mode of passion, to destroy is in the mode of ignorance. But to maintain, it requires the highest qualification in the mode of goodness. So apparently not any of the demigods have that qualification. And even in ordinary situation, even here at the temple, in our situation, we see, like, to build a structure, we do it with a lot of enthusiasm, you know, to bring the deities to maintain, like Maramukhe was talking about this, you know, for me it's a pretty sad example of, you know, she bought all these plates, brought these plates here, you know, it's a creation, bring them here. But to destroy is so easy, so very easily that these plates are disappearing, you know, it doesn't take much effort. But to maintain, to have them here, or to maintain the temple, to maintain the temple grounds, to maintain the veranda around, is a constant plea, constant effort, constant sacrifice. And it's a big endeavor to do that. So it requires a huge amount of patience and requires the mode of goodness. So in a similar way, this sun god, Lord Vishnu, maintains himself. And he himself maintains by traveling throughout. And he has his associates to help him to do that. So it's quite interesting to me when we talk about these six associates, like going back to verse 47, 48. It talks about these different personalities who assist the Lord. So we have from Brahmanas, Apsaras, Nagas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, and the Lord himself. So if you put these in in perspective and categories, it's all the categories of this material world that combines to assist. Even the Rakshasas, they stay from behind. So apparently, you know, it's important, or it's part of the construction to have the bad guys around too. So they also help, because they help, from what this describes here, they help to push the Lord's chariot from behind. So from the beginning, you have these brahmanas, and it describes here that you have the Valakilyas. So as we know from the Bhagavatam, the Valakilyas, they are 60,000 miniature brahmanas. Some time ago, they got stuck. They were so small that they got stuck in the waters of the hoof print of a calf, and the Lord rescued them from there. They are also the sons of one of the daughters of Kardama Muni, from the marriage Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Their sixth daughter, she gave birth to these 60,000 sages. And so as such, as we know, the son of Devahuti is also the Lord Kapiladeva. So as such, Lord Kapila's sister gave birth to these 60,000 brahmanas. So these 60,000 brahmanas happen to be the nephew of the Lord. So they're very related. I'm just trying to put the pieces here together. Yes, so they're all related. And another thing that caught my eyes here too, only when I put my glasses on though, other than that I don't see. is that it describes here, which one is it? Yeah, in verse 49, it says, facing the chariot, the 60,000 Brahmana sages known as Valakilyas travel in front and offer prayers to the Almighty Sun God with Vedic mantras. So when I read this, it kind of caught my attention that so if you try to put this into practical perspective, now these Brahmanas, they're in front of the Lord, in front of the chariot, but they're not backing the Lord, they're leading the way, chanting the mantras and glorifying the Lord, but they're facing the Lord, they're not backing the Lord going forward. So when I read this, I thought about this is how devotees function. This might be my speculation, but maybe somebody can chastise or correct me after. That devotees in the Lord's service, they go forward and they lead the preaching, they lead devotional life going forward, but they don't turn their backs against the Lord. They're always looking towards Him and begging for His mercy and support in going forward to do this. So this is just my thoughts when I read this, that how the devotees, they go forward. Like Lord Chaitanya, he had this little movement in India, but he had his devotees come and spread it all over the world. You know, so in a sense, he stayed behind. Of course, Srila Prabhupada said, when one of his disciples fell down, he asked that if he can come back, Hanuman Swami, when Srila Prabhupada met him in Venezuela, he asked Srila Prabhupada if I can come back to do some service. At that point, Srila Prabhupada had tears in his eyes, and he said that Lord Chaitanya could have spread this entire movement himself. He doesn't need any help. But I need all the help I can. I need the help of every one of you. So sure, definitely, you can serve. So that might be Srila Prabhupada's sentiment. On Lord Chaitanya's part, he just planted the seed, and he left the bulk of the work for his devotees to do and to give them the glorification. Just like the way Krishna did in Bhagavad Gita. He told Arjuna that in my eyes, all these soldiers are already dead. But you can perform your duty and you take the credit. So for the Lord, it doesn't matter what, you know, he's also so credible. He has all the credits. No glorification matters to him anymore. But for the devotee, the glorification matter in terms of others learn to worship them more. So many times, you know, we go places and people go replying us or even here. And after some time, you know, we just don't want to hear that anymore. We just want to, you know, stay away because it just doesn't make a difference. Like one personality here, Mother Kuti, you know, so she's always in the background and so prominent in the community. And whenever you try to glorify her, she just run away. You know? Yeah. So she just wants to stay away from that, but you know, others are there. So in a similar way, the Sun God, you know, in this position, he allows his devotees to go forward. He let the sages and the brahmanas and the devotees, they take the lead, and pretty much he primarily stays in the background to give that support system. So these other personalities here as well is described that they all join in the Lord's service. So every one of them join in the Lord's service from different angles, different support systems. And in this way, the Lord manifests his potencies and maintains the world. So yet again, you know, in the beginning, sometimes we get glimpses, just like in the Bhagavad Gita, there is that verse that talks about when Krishna finished instructing Arjuna towards the end, Arjuna said that all of the sages has described this truth about you, Nara, Devala, Sita, and now you yourself is declaring it to me. So when I read it, I thought, you know, I don't know, when is it that these sages declare this to Arjuna? But up in the end of the tenth canto, is described there that when all of the sages met Krishna and the Pandavas and so forth at Kurukshetra, the sages were glorifying Lord Krishna. And that's where Arjuna heard it from. So with this little synopsis there that's there in Bhagavad Gita, just a hint, we got a detailed description later on. So similarly here, Krishna says, "Time I am," and he instructed this knowledge. And here it's describing how he functioned as time, how he functioned in maintaining the universe, maintaining the entire creation in the form of the Sun God. So devotees worship him in the form of the Sun God, in the form of the Gayatri Mantra. According to my parents, I was chanting the Gayatri Mantra and also the Lakshmi Mantra since I was 3 years old. I never remember that age, but just from about 4.5, 5. But every day we used to recite this Gayatri Mantra. And when the sun rises and when the sun sets, we offer this prayer. But I don't think we are offering this prayer to the sun as the Lord. I don't know what mentality we had or what we were taught, but definitely not as the personality of Godhead. It is more like in a ritualistic way. But anyway, so the mantra is there. So the Gayatri Mantra is there. And only when I came to Krishna consciousness, that's when I was able to link the two together as to what is the potency of this Gayatri Mantra and how important it is for the devotee to worship the Lord in this form. So it's important because it's for the maintenance of the material world, maintenance of this universe, which we are part of. So it's very important. And it's so important that Srila Prabhupada gave every one of his second initiated disciples, he gave them, and the system is coming down, he gave them this mantra to worship. So we could have said, well, you know, there are different mantras also. Of course, in the set of Gayatri mantras, they're all different mantras are there, Kama, Gayatri, and so forth. But this is the first one. This is like, there's a reason why it's in front. There's a reason why it's number one in the set of Gayatri mantras. So I just want to point out some of these importances and point out the position of the Lord and how he carries on. So So finally, in this last verse, it says, for the protection of the world, the Supreme Personality of God at Hari, who is unborn and without beginning or end, thus expands himself during each day of Brahma into these specific categories of his personal representations. So when I first came to Krishna consciousness, and I read that even Anantishesh with his so many hoods and towns he's unable to glorify the Lord with all his activities, he's unable to complete that glorification. I was thinking, how much can there be? You know, what can there be? But after reading these descriptions and we going through the Bhagavatam, there's so many different ways that the Lord himself functions, even within the material creation. Even though he says that he's aloof and he does nothing, but still, by his energies and expansions, he's functioned in so many different ways to maintain the function of this world. So if anyone thinks, you know, even as Samyashvili Prabhupada said, with even half a brain, they can understand the existence of the Lord in every aspect, how he's here in so many different ways. And as such, we can understand that his energies and his manifestation is everywhere. And if we understand that, then that can help us to take a very humble position. So in the, I think it's the 26th verse of this chapter, let me see, I believe so, 24th verse of this chapter, in the purport, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, you know, gives an explanation as to how to see things. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur recommends that we become humble by practicing the following meditation. The earth, which is always visible to me, is the expansion of the lotus feet of my Lord, who is always to be meditated upon. All moving and non-moving living beings have taken shelter of the earth and are thus sheltered at the lotus feet of my Lord. For this reason, I should respect every living being and not envy anyone. In fact, all living entities constitute the Kastuva gem on my Lord's chest. Therefore, I should never envy or deride any living entity. By practicing this meditation, one can achieve success in life. So this is another version of the Trinada Pisanichena verse. So these are, as we go through, these are the practices. This helps us to develop these different qualities. And as we practice them, even sentimentally, then the qualities can develop. So it says that practice makes perfect. So as we practice, then these qualities come. And as we understand the position of the Lord, then we can understand the position of ourselves, how insignificant we are. So I'd like to stop here, and if anyone has any comments, questions, corrections, we can take them. So anyway, it looks like everyone understood everything. So we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Oh, yeah. Oh, I just want to mention one thing. You know, there's no questions. When Langa Ganesh Prabhu gave this class, was it yesterday, 2 days ago? And he describes this, you know, how this form started. I was thinking that, I'm just throwing out this idea, you know, publicly there, is thinking that every temple, and especially this temple, which is so significant, should create or write a Stala Puran. A Stala Puran means a Purana describes the history of the making of any sacred place. So one like here, you know, we have personalities like your good self who forms the foundation of such a project. Every one of us who are now just enjoying this project should understand how it all started. So many temples in India, they are doing that. They call it the Stala Puran, where they write about the history, the creation of this temple, and how it's being maintained. So I think it's a wonderful idea. So thank you so very much for giving us your blessings and, you know, giving us your association. And Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.